Hi, I'm Siri, your handy announcer that Richie doesn't have to pay. On this edition of The Talk, Richie's special guest is season 8 winner of The Voice, Sawyer Fredericks. Plus, Richie rhymes the news of the week and much, much, much more. That's actually not true. He couldn't think of anything else. And now, former veteran Albany, New York radio personality turned inexperienced podcaster, Ryman Richie Phillips, hit the jingle.
You can help with the guests and all the rest, and we'll never stop till we take it to the top. To the top, not the bottom of the top. To the top. To the top.
Hello there. It is Richie Phillips once again with Take It to the Top. This is the podcast where I encourage you to get involved as much as you'd like to get involved, helping me get guests, helping me with the questions. Just helping me. I need a lot of help, mentally and otherwise. And if you're following the history of this podcast, the very first podcast I had Mariah Formica on, she was on this year's Voice and did very, very well. This week, meaning right now, I have an interview with the winner of The Voice from season 8, Sawyer Fredericks. We're going to be talking with him, finding out how life has changed from a guy who used to work on a farm in Fulton County here in upstate New York. He went from farm to fame in a very, very short amount of time. It's got to do a lot to your head. And had a really good conversation with him. But first, I would like to, as a public service, rhyme what's been going on in the news locally here in upstate New York and nationally since the last time we talked. Here we go.
Let's whip through the news of the week, and what a week it's been. Oh my God, it looks like GE's laying off again. Lots of produce shortages, no salad for supper. Albany's Mayor Sheehan, she bought a fixer-upper. The Mohawk River's rising in the Schenectady stockade. Sam's Clubs are closing. Thank God this one stayed, because I need my toilet paper. National news is crazy. I'm sure you've been told. And Donald Trump is taking his lumps for saying the word hole. Still fighting North Korea and that DACA mess. And wasn't it quite ironic the lights went out at the CES? The weather's hot, the weather's cold, still very bleak. And we're hiding from the flu, and that's what's new. It's the news of the week. That's it.
Richie, don't stop till you take it to the top.
Thank you, resident rapper. Well, I'm very excited about this. I am here with contemporary folk singer-songwriter and season 8 winner of The Voice, Mr. Sawyer Fredericks. Hello, Sawyer.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for spending a little time here. Did you like my introduction?
I did.
You did? Do you like having a stamp put on you like that? I'm just wondering.
I think that's a pretty good, like, broad stamp, so I like it.
I stole it. I actually stole it from Wikipedia. Did you ever read your Wikipedia entry?
Probably not.
Oh, no, you haven't, because it's huge. It goes on for a long time. You should check it out, because it does list you as contemporary folk singer, songwriter. The reason I mention that, you know Jerry Seinfeld, the comedian?
Yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld, which you think probably has nothing to do with music, but he said something really interesting. He said the very first time he ever got on a stage as a comedian, he feels that the very first, like, 3 minutes that you're on a stage, that kind of defines the type of, you know, comedian that he's going to be. And in your case, do you think that defined the kind of musician you're going to be? Because the very first song you sang on The Voice was what? Man of Constant Sorrow, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel that that was a good move? Because everybody's going to always associate you with that style of music.
Yeah, I think that was a good move. I mean, I've been singing that song for a very, very long time, so.
Uh-huh. Well, it definitely worked, because every chair turned on The Voice. Right? That was such an unbelievable TV moment for everybody here in upstate New York to watch you, and everybody in the country.
Yeah, but I don't think that defines who you are as an artist. It just defines, that's just like what other people see your music as, because that's the first thing they hear it. But
right. So I'm just going through the Wikipedia entry. It really was pretty complete about you, and I want to make sure that they're telling the truth. Did you break a iTunes sales record?
Yeah, I did. Well, for The Voice, I did.
For The Voice?
Yeah.
Was it for that song, Man of Constant Sorrow?
Possibly. It's hard for me to remember.
Oh, okay.
I know I was like the first one to have a bunch of like songs in the top 10 on iTunes.
Right.
Like before the finales.
which is just so amazing. And you were considered the youngest winner in the history of The Voice. Well, actually, you were tied with Daniel Bradbury. Is that right?
Maybe. I'm pretty sure I was the youngest winner of The Voice.
Right. You know, I'm trying to connect my questions with questions from Facebook because I got bombarded here. So I'm going to go right to a question from Facebook. Susan Murphy asks, and in fact, there's a lady named Jan Black who really asked the same question. I'm going to play her question too.
I'd like to know how fame has changed Sawyer, if at all, his relationship with his family and friends and his life at home. Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think fame has, all, like, the biggest thing that changed after The Voice for me was I, like, started touring.
Right.
Which, like, was a whole new experience, and I was going to venues with, like, all these crowded people, and I was actually seeing all of my fans that I got from The Voice.
Must have blown your mind.
Yeah, and it was just, like, going to places that I've never been before and having this, like, following there.
So sure.
It was really, really cool.
You don't realize the influence of television until you see it in person, right? And yeah, I was looking at some of the things you've done after The Voice, because that was really the major reason I wanted you on, is to find out, is there life after The Voice? And, you know, what happens to you? Just because you're not on TV doesn't mean you're not doing anything, right?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. I mean, I've been working on a new album mm-hmm. called Hide Your Ghost, and that's, like, been my main project lately.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very, very super excited about this album because I've done it all independently and I'm getting it like done exactly how I want it. I've like produced all the songs and written all the songs. So
that's amazing.
Very excited.
Now, do you think that The Voice gave you the clout to do that? Meaning that if you weren't on The Voice and you were starting out and wanted to do an album independently and write your own songs, they probably wouldn't let you do that, right?
Who would?
I mean, like a record company or anybody who was managing you at the time when you're starting out. What I'm saying, yeah. I guess, is that the Voice gave you that extra clout to do what you want, basically, right?
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I would say that The Voice gave me a following to pursue kind of what I wanted to do and not have to worry too much about financial things. But
right.
I would say that any artist starting out can do exactly what he wants to do as an artist.
Maybe things have changed, because I'm thinking, like, in the past, even if you go all the way back to, like, the Beatles, you know, they were basically told in the beginning, you have to do this song and that song and the other song, and eventually they rebelled against it, you know, but they were told what to do in the beginning.
Yeah, but that's more of a label thing. So
right.
If you, like, if you're independent, then you don't have anyone telling you what to do.
It's great to be independent. And also, according to Wikipedia, you have a manager who's in your family, your mother?
Yep.
How is that for your mother? I mean, it's got to be a little bit of a responsibility there.
Oh, that was a big stressful thing for her for a while.
But wow.
She's taken charge of it, and she knows what she's doing now.
That's great. Well, some really big stars have had their family members as managers. I'm going to some more questions here. Lindy Childrose asked on Facebook, do you still like farming as much as music? And also, did you get any of your ideas for your songs from your background living on a farm?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
I still really love and enjoy farming, and I've been on the farm for like a couple like weeks now. I just had like a break from the tour I was on, and it's great. I really enjoy just seeing all the animals and like working. There's something very rewarding about doing like the kind of work on the farm. It's just, after you're done, it's just like so invigorating
and calming, right?
Yeah.
Instead of all the animals you might meet on tour, right? Let's see here. Oh, and also an Anne Bialeski asked the question, did you miss out on anything because you were homeschooled? A lot of people don't know that you were homeschooled.
Yeah. Well, technically I'm unschooled, which is self-directed learning and learning through life. I definitely feel like, as like the only thing that bothered me when I was growing up was that I didn't have like that many people to be around.
Right.
I was introverted, and I, since I didn't go to school, I didn't actually like make very much friends or was very social. But on the other hand, I was able to pursue a lot of my passions, like going, like I was able to pursue music more. I started playing guitar when I was 11 years old and just kind of like followed that. And I feel like it's given me a lot of freedom.
That's true. I'm sure you advanced in music a lot quicker because you spent a lot more time versus if you were in school, you may be taking general music for a half hour and that would be the extent of the music for your day.
Yeah, right? And it's also like a whole nother thing. You're learning because you want to learn.
Right.
You're not just learning something that you have been told to learn.
Well, you were independent from the very beginning when you think about it.
Yeah.
it kind of taught you independence in a way, right? You could pick and choose what you wanted to do.
Oh, yeah. I've always had a strong sense of what kind of music I want to play.
What were like two or three of the biggest moments of The Voice that you will never forget? I know there must be a million different things, but...
I mean, my favorite thing about The Voice was... Like the first experience was just being around so many other musicians because that was like my first time being around like so many other like really, really good musicians because they have like a strong like sifting through all the musicians. But one of the amazing parts is I got to sing with John Fogerty.
Yeah.
Probably one of the most amazing things.
From my era. Oh, yeah. That was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I've been listening to, like, Creedence Clearwater Revival for, like, basically my whole life. So I grew up listening to that. So that was, like, truly amazing, like, just meeting him, but mm-hmm. then getting to sing with him. And also just, like, seeing him, like, perform is, like, crazy because he just, like, comes alive on stage.
And sounds exactly the same.
Yeah.
He hasn't changed a bit. And I was thinking about your music, that the beauty of it is that it's throwback in a good way. I mean, you can appeal to my age group, and I'm over, I don't want to tell you, but I'm over 60 years old. I mean, I'm from the John Fogerty days. I remember when he first came out. So, I mean, your music being folk-based, you appeal to my age group, and you appeal to younger people, too. So it's great. You're not a flash in the, it's not a flash in the pan genre of music, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right. And you also sang a Seals and Crofts song, Summer Breeze with Pharrell, which is an old song.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, it was fantastic. And the one you did, and I listened to that on YouTube three times in a row, I'm not kidding, was when you did Have You Ever Seen the Rain with Noel?
Oh, that was one of my favorite ones.
Oh, is there a possibility of ever releasing that as a duet?
Or is it? I mean, they released it on The Voice, but probably not.
Oh, it's a killer. Absolute killer.
Thank you.
Oh, it's really great. Now, Hide Your Ghost, that's your new album, and everybody's waiting to find out when that's coming out. Or can you tell us?
Yeah, we're planning on the release date to be early spring.
That's right. You're independent. You could release it tonight if you want.
Yeah. Would not be promoted properly, but yeah.
What do you mean? You're on my show. You're on my podcast. You'll expose this to at least six or seven people being on my show. I stumbled upon this while I was eating lunch. I didn't think that I would even be able to hear any part of the song Hide Your Ghost, but there was something on iTunes, Jam in the Van.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a couple songs that are going to be on the Hide Your Ghost album from that.
So what was Jam in the Van? You actually sang live in a van?
Yeah, it's like a whole thing, and they have like artists like come over there and they like do a performance in the van. It's a really cool like setup they got going.
That is really cool. When you do albums on your own, are you, and I have a music background too, so I'm going to be geeky here. Are you really comfortable and do you like multi-tracking with yourself? And do you do that on the songs on your new album? Are you like your own harmonies and that type of thing? Or is it more stripped down?
I mean, I like certain songs to be stripped down, but some of them I feel like called to have some like multi-tracking and like harmonies. And yeah, I most of the time do like all of my like background harmonies and like layers of vocals.
Layers of vocals and any other instruments as well?
I'm thinking I have a band that like plays main like drums, guitar, and bass.
No, I meant you. Do you play anything else like Ed Sheeran type of thing?
Oh, no, it's just guitar.
Uh-huh. What was the very, very first show you ever remember doing? The very first time you were ever on a stage?
I guess if it counts as a stage, I don't know. I did an open mic. I remember my first open mic that I did.
How old were you then?
I was 12 years old.
You were 12 years old. How do you compare the nervousness of being there at 12 years old in front of people versus the nervousness of being on NBC? Now, a lot of people will probably think that's a stupid question. You're going to be more nervous on NBC, but were you?
No, I was more nervous the first time.
Interesting.
Because I when I was on the show, actually, like the performing was easy for me. I was like, this is what I do. I don't really like care if I'm going home or not. I'm just enjoying the music.
Huh.
But in the beginning, I was very stressed out and what other people thought of my music.
Right.
And I've like, after I performed, I basically just like ran out to the car and felt like I was going to throw up. But on The Voice, like performing, I was just like, this is nice. Cause I've been doing like farmers markets before that and for a very long time. And I think like farmers markets also like prepare you to more like not completely worry about what the audience thinks. Cause a lot of times you're playing for tips.
Yep.
And you're just trying to get their attention.
That's true.
But you're also not going to be like insulted if they're not paying attention, because yep. You can't. It's just not something you can be like offended by.
Correct. Right. You had so much more experience before you even got on The Voice playing all kinds of things.
Yeah. Yep. So like the biggest like difficulty for me and when I was on The Voice was actually like, the interviews, because that was like something I never experienced.
And me doing this interview, I'm just as nervous. I'm going to ask a stupid question. In fact, I was going to play Would You Rather with you, and that's basically the one question. Well, this is the good this is basically what we just talked about. Would you rather play for 5 family members 5 feet away from you or an arena show? Because I know my answer.
So, well, what's your answer?
My answer as a kid, like my parents used to drag me out and say, you know, play the accordion. There'd be like 3 people in the living room, and it was just me and the 3 people in the living room. And they would look and say, you know, your zipper's down, you know, and like throw you off while you're playing. You know, you don't really get that from an arena show. You're not going to have 500 people in the arena go, your zipper's down, you know. So, and I've worked for 29 years on WGNA, where I've stood in front of Country Fest with 25, 30,000 people and not nervous at all.
Well, yeah, I don't think either one would make me nervous.
Really?
It's more of just like, you know, it depends on how long I haven't seen my family members, whether I really would want to play a song for them or if I've just like seen them every other day and I'm like, I'd rather play a stadium show.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the time here. I don't want to keep you too much longer, but we had a couple more questions. Yeah. Let's go to this question. This is from Marion Robarge.
Hey, Sawyer, who would you like to collaborate with on an album?
Ah, good question.
It's hard for me to say that. I would pick someone that our voices would blend well together and we'd have like similar interests in music. But I guess I would say someone that I would like to just like sit down and see if we could like get any kind of music together would be Ray LaMontagne.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you sang one of his songs, right?
Yeah, sang Trouble. He also gave me one of his songs when I was on The Voice. It's called Please, and I sang it on the show.
Oh, that must have been exciting to get a song that you know nobody else has heard before. That's great. Yeah, maybe that'll happen. Well, you're independent. You give him a call on the phone and say, come on over to, you know, to Fulton County. Gary Kirkham has probably our final question. What is your next upstate local concert where we can come see you? Do you have anything planned?
Yeah, so I don't keep track of anything.
Right.
But I mean, like, you could find like all my like my tour dates and stuff on like my websites and stuff.
Oh, okay. And what's your website? Is it just
Sawyer my Frederick? Website is sawyerfredericks.com, and my social media pages for Twitter and Instagram is sawyerfrdrx, and you can find links to my website from those.
Yeah, you have a lot of social media things. You had like a club and an army and a the Sawyer Frederick Navy. You have all kinds of things going on. Well, I don't want to hold you too much longer. I was just so lucky to have the opportunity to get you on here, and I really, really appreciate your time. Good luck to you in the future, and everybody's watching for your next move. Okay, thank you, Sawyer. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take It to the Top. That's the name of this podcast, and I think I just did. And in fact, I'm really batting 1,000 here because I got on the old Google machine and tried to find any information I could on 12-year-old Joey Alexander. If you haven't heard the name, maybe you saw him on last year's Grammy Awards. He is a 12-year-old maestro at the keyboard, a child prodigy, really. Incredible, incredible keyboard player. Even some of the top jazz musicians in the world can't understand how he knows the chords that he does at his age. So I scoured the internet to see if I could get him on, and guess what? I've gotten an interview with him. I'm going to be recording that this week, and that will air on next week's Take It to the Top. I am aiming on having these things air every other Tuesday. But in this particular case, I'm doing it next Tuesday because Joey is appearing at the Troy Music Hall on Saturday, January the 27th. And I can't wait to see him. And you really have to go and experience one session of Joey Alexander playing the keyboard. It'll blow your mind. So please check out my podcast next Tuesday. Now, how do you find this podcast thing? Well, let me tell you, The Top is available on iOS, that's Apple to you and me, on the podcast app, or on Apple or Android on the Podbean app. Both are free. You have to download each one of those apps in order for this to work. Then all you got to do is type in Richie Phillips. Just type in Richie Phillips. Don't type in The Top, because there's about 100 podcasts with the word top in it. So you got to type in my name. You will find this podcast and all the other podcasts that I've done. And I will see you next time on
Take It to the Top. To the Top.
Take It to the Top is a Me, Myself, and I production in association with absolutely nobody else. I support this podcast to feed my 9 children and other extended family members by plugging my own services. I hope you don't mind, because I hate annoying commercials just as much as the next person. But I do hope you will consider me seriously for all your entertainment needs, be it DJing or a stand-up comedy act with my keyboard for a conference or a business meeting. If you have a retirement function going on or an anniversary that you would like to throw a party for, I would love to fill your musical needs. Just email me at richie1077@gmail.com, or again, go to my Facebook page @RichiePhillips and leave me a message and I'll get back to you. Thank you. End of annoying commercial.